Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. March 11th is the new date on the calendar for teachers and school staff in Massachusetts. That's when they can start getting vaccinated. Yesterday, President Biden urged states to vaccinate educators this month in a push to put kids fully back in school. So today, Governor Baker said, it is your turn.
Around 80% of the schools in Massachusetts are in some form of hybrid or in-person learning models, but obviously we'd like to see more kids back in class more often. And as everybody knows, yesterday, the Biden-Harris administration announced that K-12 educators, school staff, and child care workers would be made eligible for vaccines. And our administration has prioritized educators and early child care workers through our state vaccine distribution plan. They are next on the list.
And when does Baker want more kids back in class more often? April. So today we ask, what does it mean to us to get kids back in schools? And what's it going to take? Now, in a few minutes, we'll hear from the superintendent of Chelsea Schools, as well as the 2020 Massachusetts Teacher of the Year. Both have joined us before. Then we'll get your reactions too and thoughts on this latest news. So the number is 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. First, though, we want to get some more specifics on what the governor announced today. WBUR education reporter Carrie Young joins us now. Hey there, Carrie.
Hi, Tiziana.
So, Carrie, who specifically is the governor making eligible, and do we know how much sooner they're eligible now than they otherwise would have been?
Yeah, so today's announcement pretty much makes anyone who works inside a school or daycare eligible for a vaccine appointment. And from what I can tell, this move bumps educators ahead by at least a few weeks. The state is currently in phase two of its vaccine rollout, which had been prioritizing people who are older than 65 or they had two or more of specific medical conditions.
So, Carrie, we've been covering the fact that there's already been concern about both availability of vaccines and vaccine slots. And that's for people already eligible. So clearly the governor hadn't been planning on this. How do we have the capacity to do it?
Yeah, I mean, President Biden's announcement yesterday really was a big influence on the timing of this announcement. So when it comes to capacity, I mean, having the Johnson & Johnson vaccine approved by the FDA now, that does help some. Massachusetts has already received 58,000 doses of that. But it will take some logistical planning to make sure that educators can successfully schedule an appointment. Officials have been saying that there could be setups where there are dates or specific times reserved just for educators, but I think a lot of those details are still being worked out at this point.
So I'm sure lots of different people have reactions. We're hoping to hear from parents to call in now at 800-423-8255. But Carrie, how about teachers, school leaders? What are you hearing?
Well, I've heard a mix of excitement and relief from this announcement. There's also a lot of frustration in the air that it took so long to make this decision to have teachers or educators, rather, to be a higher priority on the list. The Edify desk spoke with Rosalinda Medensi, a student support coordinator at the Boston Day and Evening Academy, which is a BPS district charter. She says that she was happy to hear the news today, but it has been frustrating for her to see educators so far down the line as a priority on the vaccine list, when at the same time, Governor Baker was pushing hard for a return to in-person learning. So let's hear her reaction.
Like, he was being cautious. I get that, the science, but at the same time, if you're asking to open schools and you're not vaccinating educators, then it's a problem.
What I've heard from a lot of other teachers today, though, too, overall, is that there is a sense of relief in the air to have the vaccine be more readily available to them, to be on higher on that priority list. When it comes to school leadership, like school committees, for example, the response was very positive to today's news as well. Many of them had also been really actively lobbying the governor to push teachers up on that priority list for the last few weeks. Here's what Glenn Kuchar, the executive director of the Massachusetts Association of School Committees, had to say today.
You rarely see unanimity among school committee members, but in this case, there is unanimity that school committee members wanted teachers made eligible for the vaccine as a strategy for getting them back into the classroom as soon as possible.
So he explained to me that workplace safety issues with COVID-19 were a big sticking point for a lot of districts in past negotiations, and it's still at least a big concern right now. So having vaccines theoretically a little bit more readily available will be very helpful in negotiations because those will still be ongoing as school systems are working through their plans to open up buildings to more and more students as this reopening kind of continues to make its way through the state.
So key parties in any of these negotiations are teachers' unions. They have been very vocal, right, especially most recently about the administration's desire to put kids back in school 5 days a week. What are the reactions you're hearing from the unions today?
Well, today in a press conference, the Massachusetts Teachers Association president, Mary Najimy, called the news a huge victory for school communities. And she said that many of her members are feeling very joyful about this change. She told reporters today that the union's next job is to continue to ensure that the state is going to equitably and efficiently get these vaccines out to the educators that want them.
So just as an aside, we had some sound in the billboard at the beginning of the show, Carrie, when the governor announced this and the mayor of Gloucester sort of exclaimed, yes, out of excitement. Is that sort of the general reaction you're hearing across the board?
Yeah, I mean, overall, there is a huge sense of relief in the education community. This was like we were hearing from the Teachers Association president. It's a huge victory. At the same time, you know, you are hearing a little bit of that remaining frustration of like, we've been calling for this for a little while now. So why wait so long? So it's a little bit of both, but it's mostly just excitement that there is finally this move to get teachers and educators higher on the priority list.
All right, so let's talk about these dates. March 11th is the first date for a sort of qualification for teachers and school staff to get vaccinated. The administration wants to put at least elementary school children back in school full time in April. Is it possible to get the state's public schools workers vaccinated in time for the Baker timeline?
Well, it is possible, I would say. President Biden did say this week that he thinks it's possible to get a vaccine to every adult who wants one in the U.S. by the end of May. So, you know, if we're prioritizing educators in that timeline, that math could work out. But there are a lot of logistics to be worked out between now and then. You know, every state's going to differ in how they roll that out. So I think for now, we're just going to have to wait and see.
Okay, Carrie Young, stay with us. I'm going to add a couple of other guests. But before I do, the phones are already filling up. So let's grab at least one call, 800-423-8255, to share your reaction to this latest news on vaccination of teachers and staff and on the press to return to in-person schooling in April. We've got Mary on the line in Andover. Mary, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I think something that's been highlighted by this pandemic and is obvious from the slow decision to vaccinate teachers is the longstanding fact that people in the positions to make decisions aren't listening to teachers. And while I'm thrilled that we're able to get vaccinated now, there are still things about when we go back and as we continue the school year that are problematic. For example, they still want to go ahead with MCAS testing, and we've already lost.
Mary, I am so sorry to interrupt you because I'm finding what you're saying very interesting, but your sound is so bad we're losing you. So we're going to have to say goodbye to you, but thank you for that first point about listening. And I think we've got another caller who will build on that. We've got Anthony in Concord. Anthony, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was going to mention that too, you know, that a lot of these kids coming back from, you know, not being in school a full day are going to be faced with MCAS on their first day back. But also I wanted to quickly say that our district in Concord, we've been back in elementary since the first day of school, back in the fall. And so I would hope that the commissioner and the governor would think about not a one-size-fits-all plan, because you know, our kids have, I've seen my full class every day of the week since the beginning of school. And so I feel like there needs to be some more thought. There needs to be some communication with teachers, like what's going to work for your district rather than this, you know, blanket one-size-fits-all mandate.
All right. Thank you for that, Anthony. So now we've still got WBUR Edify education reporter Carrie Young. I'm going to add two other guests. And these are guests we are welcoming back because we've spoken with them earlier during this pandemic. Almi Abeta is the superintendent of the Chelsea Public Schools. And Takeru Nagayoshi is an English teacher, English and research teacher at New Bedford High School and was the 2020 Massachusetts Teacher of the Year. Superintendent Abeta, TK, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be back.
Great. Thank you. It's great to be back.
It's great to have both of you. So this March 11th news, I want to ask you each how important it is to you. And maybe Superintendent Abeta, maybe you can go first.
Well, this is great news for us, especially in Chelsea. We are so excited and we leaved. This morning, I was meeting with all of our administrators. We had our regular administrative team meeting, and I got the news then. And so at the end of the meeting, I was able to tell everyone that teachers had been moved up to March 11th, and you should have seen all the high fives on the reactions in the Zoom and the chat. And it, you would have thought that we had won the lottery. And so we're just excited to be able to move forward as we move forward with our plans to reopen. And we can say that our teachers are going to be able to be vaccinated. People will feel at ease. They'll feel safe. Our teachers, when they come back, a lot safer. So this is a huge, huge win for us in Chelsea and across the state.
And TK, how about you? I know you've been in school, I think, since the beginning of the year, like our caller from Concord has. How important is this news for you as an educator?
I feel like it is about time we are finally seeing an alignment between the rhetoric and action amongst our leaders. And I'm making an appointment as soon as I can so I can be the first in line to get that vaccine. And yes, I have been in person since September. We reopened actually the same week that our city was designated as a high-risk zone. And I couldn't help but feel in the early parts of this school year that as a teacher, I was forgotten, that I was considered indispensable. And I felt hyper aware of the low importance teachers hold in this country in terms of status, despite being hailed as heroes on the surface. And so this was a needed course correction. And when our leaders say teachers will receive the vaccine, it's a clear message, right, that they're telling to us educators that they see us, that they hear us.
So TK, you really feel you've been treated with lip service as important, but low status in the practicality of this pandemic?
Yeah, they really have. And so it's nice that there's some movement going on. There's some clarity. I still feel as though the details need to be sorted out, though.
Superintendent Abeta, when you hear an educator say that, especially in a district in Chelsea that has been so heavily impacted by the virus, what do you find yourself thinking and how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's our community, we've been hit so hard that we're just so excited to finally even be in a position to bring our students and teachers back and to be able to say we can bring them back safely now is huge for us because the pandemic has had such an impact in our little city of Chelsea. And so it really is, you know, we want to reopen too, and we don't want to get left behind. So this is such good news for us today. And we just celebrate and we're excited and grateful. It is a move forward for sure.
Carrie, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here. In your reporting, what can you tell us about what we know about how much of the schooling in the Commonwealth is at least partially in person? And if you know numbers on fully in person, fully remote, whatever you can tell us off the top of your head, I think would be helpful here.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers that we're getting from the state are that around 80% of schools in Massachusetts are offering at least some kind of in-person learning. And really, you know, it's funny whenever I call teachers or administrators for interviews, I always have to double check exactly what you know, what their reopening plan is, because everything is really, everyone is really different. So it's going to span across the state, but offering some kind of in-person, that option's on the table, that's around 80%. There's still about 20%, though, that means, that are still fully remote that need to begin opening up.
Let's go back to the phones here, everyone. 800-423-8255 to join this conversation about what it means to us to have kids back in school and what it's going to take to do that. We've got Joan on the line from Wellesley. Joan, what's on your mind?
Oh, what's on my mind is that I think this is a case of the squeaky wheel gets the oil. I am not in favor of the teachers getting pushed up. I feel like the people over 65, people who live in public housing that don't have choices about who wears a mask and who doesn't, and people who have disabilities and who are at risk of really getting sick and dying are now not going to have enough room to get their appointments. They've only opened it up to those people for a very short time. I feel like teachers, especially the ones who work, I think elementary school could have been opened a long time ago. And I listen to what the teachers say, and they say, well, we don't want to take home anything to our sick elderly parents. And to me, that doesn't cut it. I mean, what about people in
grocery
stores?
Let's take it from you there, Joan. Thank you, Joan. Thank you for adding your perspective. And I'll come back to our guests in a minute, but I want to grab one more call here. Michelle in Brookline. Michelle, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to bring attention to all the special educators and paraprofessionals. Most of us have been back working with, you know, really vulnerable students. We're helping them eat and helping them just with all their daily tasks, and there's no social distancing possible. And I'm really excited, you know, for all of my colleagues who can be vaccinated. I'm a single mom, and I never thought twice about going back. I love my students and helping them, but you know, it's hard to take that health risk every day. So I just wanted to bring attention to the special educators.
I'm glad you did that, Michelle. And so, TK, I think I'm going to come back to you first. One of the things that we know about scarcity is that it pits people against each other. And we are in a time of scarcity. We heard this, you know, we had Dr. Anthony Fauci here on the show, and he underscored that we were still in a time of vaccine scarcity. We're not out of that yet. There is great news coming, but we're not out of that yet. How does it feel to know that the interests of, for you as a teacher, are pitted against essentially interests of other vulnerable people based on the scarcity of the vaccine supply?
Yeah, it was such an unfortunate thing to hear that there are folks out there who think that the reason teachers are getting it is because the wheel that squeaks the loudest gets it. And I think if we take a step back, it is exactly, Tiziana, what you said. We're navigating a scarcity model that inevitably puts populations, all of whom are deserving, against each other. And I can't really speak to who should be prioritized and why. Obviously, I'm sort of biased as an educator, and will stand by my belief that teachers who are at the front line working with your students, with your children, deserve to be vaccinated and protected is an important cause, especially if you're pressuring us to reopen. But I also think it's important to acknowledge that in a scarcity model, that may come at the expense of others.
Superintendent Abeda, I'm also mindful of Michelle's call, who talked about special education teachers. You know, this is a move not just for teachers, but for staff in schools. Who are the other vulnerable members of sort of the school employee structure that we need to be keeping in mind, and for whom this is going to make a really big difference?
You know, I think one population that's been left out are essential workers, what we are like our meal service providers, who've been working this entire pandemic, coming in faithfully every single day to serve our students since March 13th during the peak times of the pandemic. Our custodians, our security guards, our buildings and grounds, everyone that's been keeping the district running. And so I think for them to have that opportunity is amazing. And they are our silent heroes throughout this pandemic and faithfully coming in every single day. So that's, I believe I'd like to lift up all of our workers who have been working extremely hard and coming in every day.
So, Carrie Young, I'm going to turn to you, too. I'm still thinking about the caller from Wellesley who talked about being frustrated that teachers were being moved up because anybody who moves up in the line, by definition, somebody falls behind in the line. And that kind of underscores a larger set of tensions we've touched on in this show in the past year around the pandemic. Tensions between the conflicting interests, for example, of parents who want kids in school full time and teachers who are concerned about safety. Are you seeing any signs or hearing any concern that there will be lasting tension between these constituents who have to collaborate together to get kids educated because of the competing interests we've had around opening schools?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are so many interests to be taken into account here. And it's all got to fit together in one very complicated puzzle. And how that fits together, it's a tough question to answer. And for the people in charge, it's been a struggle, from what I understand, to try to work that out. Who goes first, who goes next in this kind of scarcity model? It's just been such a complicated puzzle for so long that I think until maybe next year, maybe even a little bit longer than that, that we'll still be having some of these conversations, some of these tensions around reopening and protections and that kind of thing.
Let's go back to the phones here, 800-423-8255. We've got Mommy on the line from Brookline. Mommy, go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, I can.
So, I'm all for the kids going back to school, but I was just wondering, these kids are all, 20, 30 kids per class. What is preventing them from getting the disease, being asymptomatic and taking it home to a family? Each of these kids are associated with a family, and many of these families will not be vaccinated.
Thanks for that call, Mommy. And Mommy's question raises another question I wanted to ask you about, Superintendent Abeta, so I'm going to turn to you here. Classroom size, the number of kids in a classroom and the requirement of either 3 feet or 6 feet social distancing, and I know the state standard is 3 feet. Is space a limitation to safety here? And what do you do about that? It's not like you can make buildings bigger.
Yeah, it definitely is a limitation for us in Chelsea. And that's why we have to go into hybrid with 3 to 6 feet social distancing. Our classes already are at 25. So we don't physically have the space. So when we asked our families, which model would you prefer, remote or hybrid? We fell in the 50-50 range, where 50% of our families said they would bring students back. This was a survey that we did in July. So I'm assuming it's probably about the same. So space is an issue. We cannot physically bring back every student right now with social distancing if we tried.
TK, I want to ask you the same question. Classroom size, physical space, comfort at 3 feet apart. How are you thinking about that? I'm especially aware classroom size is something that's been an equity issue for a long time, long before this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. I think Mommy's point underscores how vaccines are just part of this puzzle. Once I'm vaccinated, I no longer have to worry about my health or the health of my loved ones. But exactly to Mommy's point, what about students and their families? And New Bedford has been doing this sort of in-person concurrent teaching model for a while now, where families can opt in whether they want to be in person or all remote. And so I have about 100 students. And when I count the number of students who are actually physically in my classroom in a week, it's give or take around 20 to 25. And when I check in with them and their family about why they're not opting for the in-person option, even despite how it's better for them academically, it's because they're not comfortable returning in person. They know someone who caught COVID or died as a result of it. They have people in their households who are essential workers or are in a high-risk category. And at a school like ours, where I have 2,500 students, 180 staff members, and class sizes that go up to 30, including my period one class, I understand those anxieties and hesitations. And so I think the question is, will teachers being vaccinated alleviate these community anxieties and hesitations? And if not, how are we going to convince them that it's safe to return? It's going to be a really contentious battle.
In your mind, Superintendent Abeda, is it safe before herd immunity?
In my mind, I say no. I think that we can bring students back. We have to be cautious. We have to be careful. We do know that spread is not happening in schools. We have online remote learning centers in Chelsea since day one, since we started the school year, and we haven't had spread. I think what's going to to convince our family members that it's safe, time will be the best indicator for herd immunity. And I think it's going to take some time. If you talk to some of our parents right now, they're not going to bring their students back. They don't feel safe. And part of it is we've been impacted so much by COVID-19 in our city. Families have loved ones, whether it's a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, an uncle, an aunt, a grandparent who has been sick, who's been hospitalized, or who has died. And when you're close to the virus and you see the impact of it, you worry and it's scared. You're scared. And so, in Chelsea, we know this because it's close to us. So it's going to take some time for our community to feel safe. I've had parents who said, there's no way I'm sending my child to school. Flat out, no way. I had COVID myself, and I was in the emergency room. And you have to respect that. We will continue to have a remote option for this year, and we may have to have a remote option next year as well. I think Chelsea is unique in the fact that we were hit incredibly hard.
All right. That is Superintendent of Chelsea Public Schools, Almi Abeda. We've also had with us Takeru Nagayoshi, or TK, an English and research teacher at New Bedford High School. TK was the 2020 Massachusetts Teacher of the Year, and WBUR's education reporter, Carrie Young. Thanks to all three of you.
Thank you, Tiziana.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.